House has been in full swing for 4 weeks, MPs sitting long hours as the government pushes through legislation under urgency. It's been a race against time as the coalition works to complete its 100-day plan. What's in it? Did the government achieve it all? And how will the plan hold up in 6, 12 or even 18 months' time? Kia ora, ko Anika Smith aho. Anei te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. For all the fanfare about the coalition's ambition to get things done, having a 100-day plan is nothing new. The concept goes all the way back to the 1930s, to American President Franklin Roosevelt after the Great Depression. As Associate Law Professor at Otago, Marcelo Rodriguez Ferrer explains, New Zealand governments of all stripes have used it to make their mark after winning an election.
The theory is essentially is out with the old and with the new to really indicate what kind of government it's going to be and the sort of the vibe and the general policies and mark that a new administration will have. So, for example, in 1999, the incoming Clark government was all about, look, we are going to make employment laws fairer, boost science, fund health appropriately, whereas the Key government, for example, was we are going to sort out law and order, get the economy back on track, boost education.
The coalition government is no different to previous lawmakers, putting its own stake in the ground after its first cabinet meeting at the end of November. It unveiled a 49-point plan covering all manner of policy from banning gang patches to setting up new consenting laws. 100 days later, Chris Luxon says the job is done and it's been a job well done.
It just demonstrates what's possible, right? It demonstrates what's possible when you're actually a government that's clear about its priorities. We're here to rebuild the economy, restore law and order, deliver better health and education. When you see things like, you know, we jammed in the mobile phone ban, we jammed in an hour of maths, an hour of reading, an hour of writing, go talk to the parents, go talk to the principals, go talk to the kids, even just on the phone ban, for example. Really good. Think about, we talked about for years the problems that we've had with nurses being, you know, abused in emergency departments. Done. Quick conversation in cabinet. Three parties agree. Yep, let's go do that. Get that sorted. Lo and behold, we get the security in place. Halve the number of incidents. So we can keep talking about things in this country or we start doing things and we're determined to do things.
Christopher Luxon is clearly confident all 49 points have been ticked off, but some of the achievements are tenuous at best. For example, the plan promises to allow the sale of cold medication containing pseudoephedrine. While the government has introduced legislation to do that, it's yet to pass it in full. The agenda also includes beginning efforts to double renewable energy and beginning work on a national infrastructure agency. In both cases, though, the only work that's been done is seeking advice. Massey University political professor Richard Shaw says it's not as simple as just ticking things off.
It's worth looking at the language of some of those action points, and you know, around about a half of them were repealing or reversing or stopping work or cancelling things. And not all of the things that were cancelled have had other things put in their place. And you've also, it's sort of questionable, have some things, how do you measure whether or not beginning work on a national infrastructure agency has begun? How do you measure whether or not the quality of regulation has started to be improved? So I think the languaging around some of those action points is probably worth reflecting on. But Prime Minister's made a great deal of the phrase, the first 100 days, more so than other governments that I can recall in recent times anyway. And I think the whole point of that is to build up a sense of energy and activity and focus. But I think it's before deciding whether or not we give them a pass mark in grading them, it is important to look at exactly what it is that the various action points have meant and how much substantive policy work has been done in the last 100 days.
RNZ's Russell Palmer examined the 49-point plan and marked 15 of them questionable, meaning it's not clear if they've been completed or not. The coalition will still deliver itself a golden report card. Marcelo Rodriguez Ferrer says the government may be remembered, not for what it did in this report card, but how it achieved it.
They really have shown what kind of government they're going to be. Mark Dalder of Newsroom sort of indicated today that this has been the most significant and extensive use of urgency, for example, ever. And so it's very clear that this government, yep, sure, will sort of focus on deliverables and outcomes, but that might be at the cost of the appropriate democratic deliberation.
Newsroom reports urgency has been declared 8 times to pass 61 stages of 21 bills, 13 of which were passed entirely under urgency. Using data from the Parliamentary Library, it also found this government has passed more bills under urgency in its first 100 days in power than any of the past 5 terms of Parliament. It's outraged opposition parties, who let loose during the first reading of the fast-tracking consents legislation.
We need to do long-term planning, and that was there in the Spatial Planning Act that this government repealed under urgency, all stages urgency, no referral to the Select Committee. Shame on them.
We have an executive that is granting itself powers, ministers granting ministers powers using their parliamentary majority through a dodgy process under urgency to override some of the most significant environmental legislation that we have. We've gone from unbridled power to unhinged power.
Government ministers backing their progress, unapologetic about the pace and scope of it.
Ministers and officials have moved at extraordinary pace to develop this legislation. There are many long nights devising this, and it has been put to me, sir, by people who know this sort of stuff around the town, that ministers and officials have done about 2 years' worth of work in about 2 months, sir.
The echo chamber for my speech is trans-Tasman. It's global. I am already getting messages from North America, from Singapore, from Australia. At long last, New Zealand has opened again for business.
RNZ's political editor Joe Moyer and the New Zealand Herald's political editor Claire Trevett spoke to Morning Report's Ingrid Hipkiss about urgency.
We've heard from a lot of people, a lot of groups, community groups, members of the public who have been concerned about that urgency factor being used. So, yeah, a lot of legislation, a lot of issues being pushed through, some controversial, of course, when you look at those changes that have been made around smoking, which, of course, weren't campaigned on, the Māori Health Authority being repealed, which was campaigned on, but of course a lot of pushback from the public there. So a real mixture of stuff going on here.
And Claire, the opposition, of course, has made a lot of the overuse, as they see it, of urgency. Is that a risk for the government?
It is a risk. It's not great to just rush laws through for the sake of hitting what is effectively an arbitrary political marketing tool of the 100 days plan to show that they're hitting the ground running. The trouble is you've got the Parliamentary Council Office, who are the real champions of the 100 days period, have had to scramble together lots of pieces of legislation in a hurry, which means they're not put through so much scrutiny at that initial stage. And then for the ones that get pushed through all their stages under urgency, they never really get that, and then later on unforeseen consequences come back and kind of bite the government if there's something wrong in that initial drafting. The most controversial ones they've pushed through the first reading, and they'll go to select committee for either the normal process or a shortened process, such as the gangs legislation and the fast track consenting. But yeah, there is a real danger in doing stuff in such a hurry. Like, fast lawmaking is never really ideal, and it can sometimes come back to bite them.
Marcelo Rodriguez-Ferreira says the reality is there are no quick fixes, arguing 100-day plans burn out policy analysts, deliver bad advice and set up bad laws.
If they really want to solve the problems that this sort of legislative, this action point plan is seeking to sort of solve, then the one way you don't do it is quickly, because policy analysts and sort of policy advice that you get from government departments that are being sort of cut and under sort of strain, good policy that's been sort of really thought through, doesn't sort of take 100 days to create. It takes many, many months of hard and efficient but thoughtful and, you know, deliberate work. And the example I would give for this is that essentially, you know, it's very clear that the National Party, the ACT Party and New Zealand First all wanted to sort of reverse the Three Waters reforms. I think that they had more than a mandate for that repeal. The country didn't like it for whatever reason. People voted for that repeal. That's fine. But the replacement was sort of created so quickly that it's got, you know, a heap of flaws in it. And sort of councils are pretty sort of confused as to why their propositions weren't sort of accepted. And so you get a whole heap of inefficiency, confusion, and probably sort of going back to the drawing board once the sort of policy is really scrutinized, because it was pushed through so very quickly and so unnecessarily quickly. There's no reason to take only 100 days in every single policy area to get as much policy and so as much policy turned into law as quickly as possible.
There is, of course, a good reason for the last 4 weeks of urgency, for Christopher Luxon at least. His 100-day plan is done, so does he stand by how his government achieved it?
Absolutely, because we are under new management in this country and we are here to grow this country, and we want to have more ambition and aspiration. And what was happening before was not working. We talked about it for the last year and a half. I was very upfront with the New Zealand people and with all of you about what we're going to do. We campaigned on it, and now we're doing what we said we would do. And I'm incredibly proud. I said to you, I'm not afraid. We're going to turn this country around. And that means we are going to have tough choices from time to time, but we are going to make decisions, and we are going to say hard yes, hard no to things in order to move things forward. The country has had too much talk, too much inaction, too much spending, a deterioration on every single outcome, whether it's been crime, health, education, the economy. It's all gone backwards, despite having spent an 84% increase in government spending, despite having added 16,000 more public servants, despite having driven debt from $5 billion up to $100 billion. The debt alone now costs us $8 billion a year just to service the interest costs on the debt. That is more than we spend in primary and secondary school education, period. So we need new management. New Zealand is open for business. New Zealand is going to, we have a great future ahead of us, and we are determined to realise the potential in this country.
One of the Coalition's final announcements in its 100-day marathon was the fast-tracking legislation for infrastructure, announced on Thursday by the Prime Minister and the three ministers responsible for signing off on the regionally and nationally significant projects. Morning Report's Corin Dan asked one of these ministers responsible for regional economics, Shane Jones, why the government was fast-tracking already fast-tracked legislation.
At the end of the day, there already was a fast-tracking clause in the previous government's legislation, the new legislation they worked on for many years. What the only change really here is that the ministers have the power to say yay or nay. Where's the evidence-based process here? How do you personally know more about the potential impacts to the seafloor than an expert advisory panel?
So the key point in this piece of legislation is the fact that the purpose of the bill, which is the efficient and expeditious allocation of approvals, will trump all of the other purposes, including the Wildlife Act. DOC will have to operate its statutory processes to suit the purpose of this bill. And I remind all the listeners, every day decisions are being made by cabinet ministers that are of inordinate importance. Billions of dollars worth of effect, whether it's tax, whether it's restructuring health, whether it's restructuring education. These relatively minor projects in the overarching scheme of things, when you consider that our GDP is approaching $400 billion a year, ministers are already making inordinately influential and powerful decisions.
We're almost out of time. A couple of quick questions. Will the panel, the expert panel that you establish, be able to consider climate change as a concern or a potential block for a project? Will that be one of the considerations?
Yes, there'll be a host of considerations that are already in the resource management criteria, but they will all be under the paramountcy of the new Act and its purpose.
Rounding the circle on the government's first 15 weeks in power was the final pillar on Friday, the announcement of 5 new health targets. Health Minister Dr. Shane Reti unveiling the revamped regime with the Prime Minister in Whangarei.
The targets clearly spell out faster cancer treatment, 90% of patients to receive cancer management within 31 days of the decision to treat, improved immunisation for kids, 95% of children to be fully immunised at 24 months of age, shorter stays in emergency department, 95% of patients to be admitted, discharged or transferred from an ED within 6 hours, shorter wait times for first specialist assessment, 95% of patients to wait less than 4 months for a first specialist assessment, and shorter wait times for treatment. 95% of patients to wait less than 4 months for elective treatment. It's important we are ambitious in trying to achieve better health outcomes for New Zealanders. The health system went backwards under the previous government, including its failure to drive targets. Having effective targets and reporting on them publicly focuses resources, attention and accountability and helps identify where there are problems.
Christopher Luxon summed up what the 100-day plan has ultimately been about.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's been fantastic, really. I mean, we came here and we said, we told you what we're going to do, we've done it, and now we're telling you what we've done.
After a four-week sitting block slog full of late nights and early mornings as Parliament is sat under relentless urgency, some ministers will be looking for a reprieve. A week-long recess ahead couldn't have come at a better time. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Annika Smith. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.